Well, on Thursday evening, through the snow, I made it to Opera North's production of Tosca, a tale of jealousy, betrayal, corruption, sorrow, anguish, torture, and death. I know I'm really selling it as a great night out. At one point, Tosca sings, thinking that she has been betrayed, that God sees her tears. That God sees her tears. We continue our theme of journey, of wilderness worship through this season of Lent. And today we're confronted with the unsettling truth that this journey may involve times of sorrow. In our series so far, we've talked about how the Holy Spirit of God calls us to the desert that we might be transformed. We've spoken about how wilderness worship looks different from mountaintop worship. It might involve things like solitude, silence, and fasting. And we now come to the stark truth that wilderness worship might also involve some sorrow. But before we engage with this theme a bit further, let me say two things to you this morning. If you are here today and your heart is heavy, then you are in the right place. This is a safe place to share, even if that's not what you'd normally do. If you find yourself in tears, that's okay too. And secondly, do not believe the voices that tell you that being a Christian means that you will be happy 100% of the time and that you always have everything you want. The psalmist writes in Psalm 23, verse 4, a famous psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The psalmist is not inspired by God to write 10 top tips for a trouble-free life. Rather, he talks about, though I walk, know that God is with you. So the dangerous desert. I wonder if you've ever been to a desert. Do you imagine in your mind the rough terrain, baking sun, really windy nights? Or have you transported yourself to a luxury tent next to an oasis from which you can see the expanse of sand? A romanticized desert. For the world of the Bible, not only were deserts lacking in food and water, but there were other dangers too. As Tom Wright puts it, the wilderness became a haunt of wild animals. The desert offered criminals a place to hide and plot, and open spaces between towns and cities were lawless, dangerous places from which travelers would be eager to escape by scurrying into the next built-up area. For all these reasons, the wilderness was feared. For people in Bible times, it represented the unknown, danger, failure, mortality. Today, we are not good, can I say, particularly in the UK, maybe even particularly as Anglicans, at talking about or reflecting on these kinds of difficult issues. We all experience struggles, fears, doubts, disappointments, anger, and hurt. All of us will at some point be faced with the mortality of ourselves and our loved ones. And yet so often we brush these thoughts under the carpet and aim to keep calm and carry on. Even with God, we can come into church or to times of prayer and try to pretend that everything is okay. Would God want to hear about our struggles? Can we be honest with Him? A time of wilderness calls us to honesty, to follow the pattern of Jesus who withdrew to be close to God, as we thought about last week, and whose journey was suffering, then glory, the road to Jerusalem and the cross before the resurrection and ascension. So in the wilderness, we learn to lament. We realize that in times past, news of wars or disasters could take a long time to filter from one side of the world to the other, so different to the age of instant communication we currently find ourselves in, where images and sounds from a front line are broadcast into our homes or onto our phones. The question is, do you think there's that kind of distance with God? Do you think God is close? Is your view of God that actually he's some kind of disinterested deity far away who just occasionally wonders what has become of the earth? Wilderness experiences in the Bible teach us that God does hear. He does care. He does meet us. In Exodus 3, which was our first reading, Moses is hiding away in the desert, far from what was his home, when he hears God say these words. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So not only does he meet Moses where he is, but did you notice God has seen, has heard, and is concerned? Our God is not blind to our struggles or deaf to our cries. He does not consider it a lack of faith or an insult or a sin if we choose to be honest with him. The psalmist can write, as we heard right at the beginning of our service, "How long, O Lord, and do not forget me." There is real, unfiltered, raw emotion in these verses of the Psalms. God's people cry out, and God hears. It's sometimes said that there are no atheists on a plane that is about to crash land. But there is a difference between those who find themselves in a season of sorrow and those who know the presence and promise of God. Bible characters from Hagar to David, from Jesus to Paul, pray heartfelt prayers of distress, and these prayers are often called laments. There is a deep joy in knowing that we are loved and saved through the wonderful crosswork of Jesus, but that doesn't mean that there won't be times in our lives when we experience heartbreak for ourselves. Can I encourage you to be honest with God in prayer and to share how you are feeling with other trusted Christian friends? In Romans 12 we read, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." We also learn that Jesus meets us. Now, depending on our personalities, our previous experiences of church, and our current situation, how we lament might look quite different for each one of us. You might manage a whispered, simple prayer. You might not know what to pray and ask the Spirit to help you. In Romans 8:26, the Apostle Paul writes, "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." You might shout at God. You might sing. You might sit silently. You might write. You might paint. You might need to talk with someone else. We see different responses and different ways of explaining our heart to God. And we see different responses to the death of a loved one in our New Testament reading from John's Gospel. When Martha's brother dies, she goes to Jesus with a theological question. And Jesus meets her in that. He listens, he responds with a deep truth that she can place her hope in. Mary, on the other hand, is completely different. She has a question for Jesus, yes, but mostly she weeps. And so Jesus is moved deeply in his spirit, and he weeps with her. even though Jesus must know what he is about to do to raise Lazarus. He is profoundly sorrowful for Lazarus. He is not afraid to show that emotion. In John 11:33-35, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. In sorrow, Martha asks, and Mary mostly weeps. Jesus doesn't privilege one over the other. He meets them both where they are. Where are you? Where are you when there are times of sorrow in your life? Is there so much going on in your mind that you find yourself close to weeping? Or is there so much going on in your mind that you find yourself forming questions for God? In times of wilderness, we can know that God cares and that by his Spirit we can be sustained. And don't believe that our sorrow endures forever. We're not promised instant relief, but we're told that God will do something new. That there is a promise of eternal joy, and that there is the very light and joy of God, removing any hint of shadow. We are a church family, and therefore I pray that you would know enough of God's love and grace to be able to either share or shoulder. That is, either honestly tell someone else what is going on for you, or walk alongside someone else. We won't always get it right. We'll sometimes hurt each other in the midst of our sorrow, but we're called to journey together. And as we finish, let's not forget Moses. For in worship, he responded to the voice of God, and there God showed him something of the task ahead. God's lament in response to the people's lament. We may be shown situations that cause us to cry out to God on behalf of other people. We might find ourselves lamenting in prayer for the disorders, dysfunctional world in which we find ourselves living in. When we hear of injustice, when we hear of people departing from the good ways of God. In our sorrow, in our lament, in our standing with others, in our praying, we know God's grace, the cost of sin, and the promise of joy. Might you know God with you, whatever you face this week or in the coming weeks, and feel the loving kindness of his people as you trust and follow his ways. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we have different reactions to sorrow. We have different reactions to people offering to pray for us. We have different reactions to opening up our minds and hearts to others, and sometimes even to you. But call us into honesty. Call us into openness. And call us into a community of faith. Amen.